In Acts chapter 18, beginning from verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. You know, who was this guy, you know? Apollos from Alexandria. Alexandria is the urban educational center during that time. So, marami sa atin may iiwan ni Apollos. As a matter of fact, when he went to Corinth, you know what happened. You read it. There was a tension created by the coming of Apollos because they realized the man was, and I may be wrong, but the man was more eloquent than Paul. We know Paul was intelligent, a rabbi, a Pharisee, but here came a man who is intelligent, but in addition to his intelligence, he was eloquent. Now, Paul could not claim eloquence. So, when you have a person like this, will he attend a staff development like this? You know, what do you do with a guy like that? You know, and sometimes we are discipling, witnessing to young people who are seemingly more educated, more eloquent than us. So how do we handle him? In the same passage, it says he has limitations. One of his limitations was he had no first-hand knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, according to the passage in 25, he was acquainted only with the baptism of John. Why? What is the baptism of John all about? It's a baptism of repentance, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But maybe he was not aware of the baptism of fire. He is like Paul before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at what happened. He began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. So this guy has limited knowledge, but he has right knowledge of Jesus. He was eloquent, he was learned, and he was bold, he was passionate. What else can you ask for the guy? But in the next statement, when Prisca and Aquila heard him, what did they do? They took him out for lunch. You know, that's the way to handle, you know, strong guys. You know, you cannot rebuke them publicly. You cannot correct them publicly. They took him aside. Okay? They explained to him the way of God more accurately. You know, this guy knew how to put the things in words without causing tension. So he knew things about Jesus accurately. But Priscilla and Aquila, who were lay people but discipled by Paul, taught him more accurately. So pwedeng ganun ang natin, experience natin in training. We know accurately, but we can know even better. So what happened after that? When he wanted to go across to Achaia, this time, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, the result, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, meaning God's people. Verse 28, for he powerfully refuted the Jew in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He became more effective. So, you know, I hope that we as a group will continue to upgrade ourselves. And when we see, you know, young men, you know, rising up, let's not be intimidated by them. Because once you get intimidated by them, you cannot minister to them. And no, we can take them aside and contribute to him or to that person anything the Lord has given us, so that in the end, that person will be more effective. Kasi ang danger sa Philippine setting, when we mention names of pastors and leaders, may kasamang criticism. Pagka ganun, hindi tayo makaka-raise up ng mga leaders sa country. Kasi hindi pa nagra-rise, tinutumba na natin. So paano tayo magkakaroon ng credibility sa society kung when leaders will arise from Victory, from CCF, and from different churches, tapos we have negative comments about people. Sabi nga, it's only in the church where we are shooting our own soldiers at the back. You know? So I hope that we will continue this discipline of learning. Kasi we can only give what we have. So if we are not growing in grace and knowledge, how can we grow our people? Eh di magbubukas ng tanong, magbubukas ng dilata. No? Okay, so yun namin, nakatanggap ako ng text dito sa grupo na ito. Excited na excited daw ngayong araw na to. Akala ko parang excited sa Genesis. Excited pala sa murder na topic. So before I group you into small groups, I like to give some feedback. You know, how do you preach one-liners in the scriptures? One-liners. Topical, yeah. Topical. Kasi walang context di ba? Lalo kayo ngayon, yung ginagawa nyo, Ten Commandments. Hindi naman pwedeng every week, the same context. You are giving the same context again and again. So, when you are preaching one-liners, para kayong Proverbs Di ba? Mga one-liners yan. The main question is, what is your intention in the end? Parang vision yan What is your preferred future when you preach a topic like, you shall not murder? Will you dwell on the topic between the difference of murder and killing? Of intentional and non-intentional? Eh dahil isang Sunday ka lang magsisermon ng tungkol sa murder, tungkol sa Ten Commandments, you only have 30 minutes or 40 minutes. So what would you emphasize? Ako, I will still go to the route we are taking. The gospel has to be there. Because if the gospel is not there, eh magiging ano lang tayo, member ng Commission on Human Rights. So, ang suggestions ko, dalawang route. Route number one is to expound Exodus 20 on murder using Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, you have the instruction there. You have been told you shall not commit murder, but, and then you explain. So you will explain the essence of the commandment given the broader picture, that it is not the killing, but what prompted the killing. And how to avoid the killing by handling anger. So that's one route. The second route is, if you're like me, I'm quite familiar with the Old Testament, I will preach it with an Old Testament flavor. Like, I would say, how do the Israelites handle murderers? Well, you will explain that there were murderers who killed intentionally. They planned. There is premeditation. But there are murderers who killed somebody unintentionally. Now, for unintentional murderers, they have a way out. So what's their way out? There are 6 cities of refuge. 3 on across the Jordan, and 3 inside the Jordan. So when they committed murder and intentionally, they will have to run to the cities of refuge before they are killed by the Avengers. The Avengers are those relatives of the victims. So why will you run to that place? Well, you will run to that place because it was accidental. It was not premeditated. So you will run to that place and you will express to the people there that I killed somebody, but it was not out of, you know, premeditated motive. And then they will protect you. But you cannot go out of the city of refuge. Because once you get out of the city of refuge, the Avenger has all the right to kill you. Now, where is the gospel there? The gospel is, when the high priest dies, you are free. You are free. You can get out of the city of refuge and you cannot be touched. So if you want to present the gospel there, you can attack it through the city of refuge, that Jesus is our refuge, or Jesus is our high priest. And it's easy to do that. You simply go to a Bible Gateway, type high priest, and you will find, you know, Jesus as the high priest. And you can say that, you know, the high priest need not die. The greatest high priest has died already for our sins. And he died only once and for all. So for those who have actually committed murder unintentionally, there is a way out. Okay? So that's another way of treatment. Gusto niyo pang isa? Oh, isa pa. Next week na yan. Susunod pa yan. Okay, the other way is medyo ang approach natin kung magsisiris kayo sa thou shalt not murder. Series? One verse? Oh, ah. You can develop a series for 1 month or 2 months just on do not kill. Paano yun? Well, your approach will be, why do people commit murder? So you will go to the Bible and survey why people kill. So in our context in Genesis, the first murder was committed between brothers. Why did he kill Abel, Cain? Because he and his offering were not accepted. So people kill when they feel rejected, when there is a sense of shame. Okay? Especially in our shame culture. Buti pa, sampalin mo na lang o suntukin mo na lang, pero yung pinahiya mo, papatayin ka niya. So, kung may mga napahiya sa congregation natin, anong gospel sa kanila? Well, Jesus took upon himself our shame. May kanta nga tayo eh. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. So may, kung napahiya tayo, meron namang way out eh. We don't have to kill. Yung shame natin has been taken already by Jesus. And Jesus can turn our shame around. Okay, second, why did people in the past kill? Can you recall killing in Genesis? Okay, grudge. Grudge. Simeon and Levi wiped out the people of Shechem. And what was their reason? Because their sister was raped. Their sister was raped. They said when they were confronted by Jacob, they treated our sister as a harlot. So there is a grudge. Who else has grudge and who was planning to kill his brother? Esau. So here, you will tackle the issue of anger. Because people don't just get angry. They have a reason why they are getting angry. So when you have a grudge against somebody, how do you handle it? Yan. So doon papasok yung Deuteronomy 32 at saka yung Romans chapter 12. Na you can take the grudge in your hand and do something about it, or you can avail of the services of the judge. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. So instead of you doing it, and here's the danger when we do it, when Simeon and Levi did it, what else did they do? They did not only kill. They took their possessions. They plundered the city. Kasi may, ang murder kasi may kakabit na ano yan, crime yan, hindi lang basta papatay. But when you bring the case to the judge, he being the righteous judge, will take, you know, your case and inflict punishment, and you are free. Okay, what else? Why will people kill? The 10 brothers of Joseph, why were they planning to kill him? Ayun. Naku, yan ang magandang topic. Jealousy, envy. And that's also the bottom line reason why the chief priest killed Jesus. Envy. Okay. But if you know the good shepherd, why will you be envious? If you know the God who can cause things to work out for your good because you love him, why will you be envious? If you know Philippians chapter 4:19, that my God will supply all my needs, why will you be envious? If you know Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly, why will you be envious? You are envious only because you are blinded not to see the riches that you have in Christ. Ito pa, susunod. In the New Testament, why, in addition to those, why are people killing? James chapter 4 verse 2. What's the reason? Lust. What is lust? Lust in Greek is desire. And desire is not always negative. Psalm 37 verse 4, if you take delight in the Lord, He will give you the? Oh, plural pa yon, desires of your heart. But what's the difference between lust and desire? The word lust is excessive desire. Yung kumain, desire yan eh. Pero yung gluttony, lust na yan. Yung sex, having sex with your wife, eh, tama lang yan eh, to satisfy your desire. Pero to go beyond, excessive desire. So sabi doon, why do you do murder? Because of excessive desire. No. You complete the verse. What does the verse say? You have two ways to satisfy desire. One is your way, and that is murder. And the other way is you do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask. Why will you and I kill if Jesus has already said to us in John 15, if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you that you would go and bear fruit and your fruit should last. Then whatever you ask in my name, it shall be given to you. So really, many times we kill, we are angry, we are wrathful because we don't include God into the equation. But when God is in the equation, whatever injustice, insecurity, hurt that we have, God can, you know, the grace of God can override all of them. Well, if you like to preach a passage to overcome anger, one of the best passages is either Psalm 4 is an appeal for the God of righteousness. How long will my honor bear a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But God has separated the righteous for himself. The Lord hears my prayer And then he said, tremble. And the concept there is tremble in anger, but do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. But who will show us any good? What about my case? What about my needs? What about my pride, which has been hurt? Who shall show us any good? You know how the psalmist responded? Lord, let thy countenance be upon us. Make me glad as you have put gladness in my heart, like when you harvest. And then what's the ending of that psalm? In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone. Alam niyo mga kapatid, paggalit tayo, hindi tayo makakatulog. Hindi tayo makakatulog. And worse, we become a playing ground. Our minds and our hearts, our spirit, our souls become a playing ground for Satan, who, by the way, is the murderer. But if we put our case into the hand of the righteous judge, the righteous God, we can sleep well in the night. For he will take our case, put gladness in our hearts, and we will both lie down safely. Now, here is the bottom line. Whose father, oh, whose son are you? The father of the murderers, John 8:44, or the father of forgivers? Okay. But pastor, sa totoo lang, hindi lang ako nakapatay sa galit. Nakapatay talaga ako ng tao. You know, my first case of handling anger is when the husband of one of our members is non-Christian. Tapos, ano siya? Magaling na tao. Maabilidad. Tapos sabi niya, pastor, hindi ko na kailangan ma-born again. Sabi ko, bakit naman? Aba, nakapatay ako ng tao eh. Nakalabas ako. Sabi ko, ang galing mo naman. Paano nangyari yon? Ay, syempre. Sabi niya, diyan pumapasok ang abilidad. Marami tao kasi walang abilidad eh. Wala akong masagot. Bago akong pastor eh. Sabi ko, sasagot mo. Tapos sabi niya, oh sige, iwanan kayong ka dyan. Lalabas na ako ha. Di lumabas. Lumabas ang bahay nila. Tapos bumalik uli. Sabi niya, oh, pakitingin nga yung ano dyan, yung tawag dito. Hindi water eh, yung gas. Baka hindi nakasara. Sabi ko, oh, okay, tumama na to ah. Lumabas. Eh, bumalik uli. Oh, tingnan mo nga yung plancha dyan, baka hindi naka, ano, nakatanggal sa ganyan. Ah. Sabi ko, sir, bakit nakakadalawang balik na kayo? Baka mamaya babalik na naman kayo. Sabi, hindi, pastor, kailangan maingat tayo. Tapos sabi niya, alam mo, pastor, pag umuupo ako sa restaurant, kailangan kita ko lahat ng tao. Sabi ko, bakit naman? Eh, kasi malay mo, may pumasok dyan na kakilala, kaibigan, kamag-anak na napatay ko. Sabi ko, kuya, malaya ka nga, pero yung isip mo, sa kaluluwa mo, nakakulong pa din. Nakakulong pa din. So kung gusto mong lumaya, usap tayo. Hindi ko naman alam sasabihin ko. Kung gusto mong lumaya, usap tayo. Sabi, sige, nagmamadali lang ako. You know, that guy got born again. And now he's free. Ngayon, kung kailangan nyo ng verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. At maganda yan, hindi lang sa murder, maganda rin yan, sa adultery, maganda rin yan sa lahat ng offense, sa Ten Commandments, kasama na LGBT. First Corinthians chapter 6. Sabi ni Paul, kailangan ganyan tayo ka-blatant eh. 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, those who are living in, having sex before marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves. Wala pala dito murderers ha. Nor covetous or drunkards. Wala pala murderers, sorry. Revelation 21:8 na lang. But look, such were some of you, but, so pwede nyo itong gamitin next week sa adultery. Such were some of you, sabi ni Paul, but you were washed. Hindi lang you were washed, you were sanctified. You were how? By the blood of the Lamb. Yan ang gospel eh, by the blood of the Lamb and by the Spirit of God. Oh, 1 Timothy 1:15 also. At ako, mag-iintriga ako sa mga tao. Mag-iintriga ako pagka nag-sermon ako sa murder. Kasi sabihin ko, alam nyo, namamatay ang Panginoon. Hindi lang napawalan sala tayo eh. Actually, ang unang nag-benefit, murderer eh. Hindi pa nga namamatay si Jesus, napalaya na siya eh. Si Barabbas. Ano kayang feeling ni Barabbas nung lumaya siya? Lumaya siya because there was someone who substituted for him. Ano kaya? Hindi natin alam ang nangyari. Naborn again ba siya? Hindi natin alam. Pero I'm sure he will never forget. Kasi murderer siya at riot, ano pa siya, insurrect, ano pa, rebel pa siya, robber pa siya, but he was free because someone took his place. Today you can be freed. Yeah. Today you can be free. If the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free. Oh, pwede na tayo mag-Genesis? Pwede na. Pwede na. Tinatanggal ko lang yung ano eh, magdi-distract sa inyo ngayong hapon eh. Okay. Sino, itong grupo na to, you did Genesis chapter 12 to 21? Okay, sino yung gumawa ng Genesis 12? Yung kay Abraham. Sige. Sino yung gumawa? Wala. Ay, meron yan. Sino gumawa? Nagbigay na ako ng theme, God's friendship with Abraham. Okay, habang nag-iisip pa sila kung magbo-volunteer, yung kay Isaac, sino gumawa? 22 ba yun? To 25, sino gumawa? Yan. Sige. And then kay Jacob, yung wrestling, sino gumawa? Yan. Tapos yung huli, kay Joseph. Yan. So gawin na lang natin yung gumawa, kahit isa lang. Pwede bang mag-share? You can use the, so we can use it as a launching pad. Sige, yung gumawa ng ano, kay Abraham, yung friendship with Abraham. Whatever. Sige, share. Please share with us how you tackled the 9 or 10 chapters. Sige. Abraham. Sige, kahit isa lang. One person, especially if you have a laptop, you can put your theme and then your outline and then we will interact. Ba, naglabasan? Saan sila pupunta? Genesis 12, we like to talk about God's friendship with Abraham or vice versa. Abraham's friendship with Abraham. Sige lang, kahit simple lang, one-liner statement, and then how did you organize from 12 to 21 or from 12 to 22? Anong topic? Anong chapters? Okay.
Oh, so ito yung part 2, ha?
Tinulungan nyo nila ako. Yung sinabi nyo ho kasi na yung challenge to the children of Abraham. So, the children of Abraham would face many challenges, but we see that the promise-making and promise-keeping God fulfill His promises. And so, in chapter 22, it was the sacrifice of Isaac. And ang ano ko dun is sacrifice of the son of promise. So, yung parang sa, yung naisip ko lang dun na ano kaya yung iniisip ni Isaac when he was going up. Or he was already asking questions. Hindi siya talaga sinasagot ng tatay niya. And then he was actually laid on the wood. And so, yun yung parang things that he was going through. The second part was chapter 23. The purchase of part of the promised land. When Sarah died, he made sure to buy a piece of land because it was a promise of God that his descendants will actually own it. And so, bumili siya ng part na yon. And sabi niyo nga din last week, it was what Caleb wanted to have as his inheritance. So yun yung sa chapter 23. And then the next part is the servant's promise, which is chapter 24. We see that Abraham wanting to ask his servant to make sure that he gets a wife for his son. And it was just amazing how the servant made sure that he got everything according to the instructions of Abraham. Na pumunta talaga siya doon. And actually, without him not praying to the same God, he was always referring to God as the God of my master. He actually prayed and made sure and then did not even eat before making sure that they said yes. And then the next day, coming back and making sure that that Rebecca would go with him. So just the diligence of a servant. And then the next part in the first part of 25 is the promise-keeping God that even when Sarah died, he would be a father of many nations, and he was able to have another wife and have many more children, and that was the line that was talking about up to verse 18. And then the verse 19 to 34, the child of promise to the son of promise. God showed favor to one line, to Isaac, not to anyone else. He showed this promise to Jacob and not to Esau, to make sure that there's only one person or one line or one family, yung lineage where the Savior would come. So in our context today, there's a lot of different people who belong to the family, but there's only one that will save. And so Jesus was the one that would save. So yun lang yung...
You know, sabi natin, doon sa ating approach, from exegesis, we move to Christ-centeredness, and then to homiletical approach. So susundan ko yung kay Pastor Lee, no? The challenges to the children of Abraham. Actually, this will be a good topic during pastoral retreat or family retreat. So let's contemporize it. Do we have children of pastors who feel that they are being sacrificed on the altar of ministry? That their fathers are more inclined towards meeting the demands of ministry, meeting the demands of God, than their own needs? So, yun ang first point ni Pastor Lee. Yung, why will you offer me up for a sacrifice? Initially, he asked the question, where is the sacrifice? And then Abraham gave, you know, a not so clear statement. God will provide a sacrifice for himself. So sometimes, yung mga sagot natin sa anak natin, hindi klaro eh. Pero kung mag-counsel tayo sa iba, klarong-klaro. Pero sa mga anak natin, wala tayong klarong sagot sa kanilang mga tanong. That's one challenge. Second challenge, you know, pinaramis mo, you will give us a land that will be our forever possession. Pero until that time, wala pa silang lupa. So pwede magtanong ang mga anak natin, siguro daddy, engineer ka naman. Kung nag-engineer ka, siguro may bahay lupa na tayo. Eh, hanggang ngayon, nagre-renta pa tayo. O dad, matanda ka na. Pero wala pa rin tayong pag-aari. Saan ka namin ititira pagkatapos mo mag-minister as missionary? You know, I have a student in ATS, I will not mention his name, galing, magaling. And then when he graduated, I asked him, kasi naging asawa pa niya, member ko, member ng church namin, oh, what do you plan to do after graduation? Sabi niya, Pastor, magbi-business ako. Huh? You studied 3 years in ATS, tapos magbi-business ka? Oo, magpapayaman muna ako, pag mayaman ako, saka magpapastor. Sabi ko, bakit naman? Kasi yung mga magulang ko, 25 years missionaries eh, nag-retire. Tapos ngayon, wala malang silang titirahan kung saan sila pupunta. Yun ang pangalawang challenge. Pangatlong challenge, yun ang pag tayo mga pastor, yung mga anak natin, mga 20-year-old, mahigpit na mahigpit tayo. No? Ayaw natin paligawan. Ayaw natin manligaw. Pero pagka 30 anyos na, tinutulak na natin. Pag 35 na, wala pang boyfriend, ninenervous na tayo. Eh, yun ang challenge kay Isaac. Na blessed si Abraham in every way. In every way. Kaya lang, hindi kompleto yung blessing when his son does not have yet a family like himself. So anong standard ng paghanap ng asawa? Papasok ka ba kaagad sa 1 Corinthians na don't be mismated with unbelievers? Si Abraham, anong ginawa niya? Paano makahanap ng asawa yung anak? Alam niyo, magandang pag-aralan yon at ituro sa mga anak natin. Nagturo na ba tayo sa mga anak natin tungkol sa finding the right partner? Or when you have the right partner already, what do you do? You know, rampant na ang ano ngayon eh, rampant na ang premarital sex eh, even among Christians. Anyway, kami naman ang magiging mag-asawa eh. Sa US, ganun eh. Kapag nag-date, in the second date or third date, meron ng sexual relationship, Christian or non-Christian. So how do we handle it? Well, Genesis 24 is a good text. And of course, Song of Songs is also a good text. Pero how many of us are teaching Song of Songs? Dun sa Song of Songs, mainit na yung mga lovers, pero sabi ng writer, oh, have a break. No, have a break. Don't push love until it is time. You know, magandang exposition yon for why wait till marriage. Kasi ang sexual relationship doon, Song of Songs chapter 5 eh. Pero chapter 1 pa lang, anong-ano na sila. Very passionate na. Chapter 2, very passionate. And then what's your next challenge, Pastor Lee? So yung una, yung sacrificing our own children on the altar of ministry. Second, yung possession. Tapos third, yung finding the right partner. Meron pa? Yung ibang anak. Ayun. Yung issue ng inheritance. Issue ng inheritance. Pero ang pinakamabigat kay Abraham, yung he died without receiving the promise. Medyo mabigat yun. He died without receiving the promise. Not only Abraham, if you read Hebrews 11, all of this died without receiving the promises. Ready ba tayong i-handle yun? Kasi parang bibigay tayo ng promises, talagang ano eh. Very assuring. Eh kasi nga, yung mga promises na binibigay natin, promises pang mundo eh. Na kahit hindi Christian, nakukuha nila. Pero si Abraham, ano yung kanyang, what was he really looking for? Why did he leave Ur of the Chaldees? Travel to Haran. And then after his father died, he traveled to Canaan. Pagdating sa Canaan, ito yung promised land, anong unang nangyari? There was famine. What? Promised land. Tapos ang unang nangyari, famine. Nangyari din kay Isaac, yung famine. So paano nila hinandle? Si Abraham, paano niya hinandle yung famine? Naging OFW siya. Tapos ano nangyari na maging OFW siya? Nag-compromise siya, binenta niya yung asawa niya. Kaya hindi siya makanuki kay Sarah, no, sabi ni Sarah, "Oh, sipingan mo yung ano, yung ating katulong." Hindi makano si Abraham. Bakit? Eh ginano niya si ano eh Sarah. Kanino niya pinasiping si Sarah? Kay Pharaoh, Egyptian. Ito, Egyptian. You see the story? Kaya pag wala tayong moral ascendancy, talo tayo. Pero ang main problem ni Abraham when there was a famine, surprisingly, he did not call upon the name of the Lord. Sinold niya yung problema by his own schemings. O, ganito ha, pagtuyot dito eh. Kung idadramatize ko yung story, pambihira naman si God. Umalis ako doon sa Ur, tapos ito aabutin ko. Gumawa nga tayo ng paraan. Sige, pupunta tayo sa Egypt, may tubig doon, walang famine doon. Pero Sarah, sorry ha, maganda ka eh. Pag nanasaan ka, so pag pinagnasaan ka, lagot ako. So kailangan sabihin mo na lang, kapatid mo ako. At pagkakapatid mo ako, magbibigay sila ng dowry. Di ba? Siya ng tatay eh. So si Pharaoh nagbigay ng pera. Kaya yumaman si Abraham eh. At bakit siya yumaman? Gawa kay Sarah. At part ng yaman niya, can you imagine naka-afford siya ng katulong na imported? Kung may imported kang Amerikana sa bahay, katulong mo, anong dating? Oh. Yan ang problema pag nag-compromise. Can you turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah, please? Isaiah chapter 30. You know, si God palagi may instruction sa mga Israelites kaysa sa mga, kahit sa mga kings na huwag kayong babalik sa Egypt. Bakit? Anong meron sa Egypt? Isaiah 30 verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, makes an alliance but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt, ano? Wow. Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge to the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. So si Sarah, nagkaroon ng relasyon kay Pharaoh, buti na lang hindi nagbuntis. Si Abraham, nagkaroon ng relasyon kay Hagar, nagbuntis. Anong resulta? Problema. So, pagdating kay Isaac, ano nangyari? Turn with me to Genesis 26. Anong nangyari kay Isaac? Gagayahin ba niya yung tatay niya? Initially, yes. Now there was a famine in the land, 26 verse 1, besides the previous famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. So ano susunod na statement? So Isaac went to, oh pastor, at least hindi naman sa Egypt. Hindi, papunta na siya sa Egypt. Yung Gerar, yun ang boundary. So he was on the way to follow what his father had done. Kaya lang, on the way to Egypt, something happened. Verse 2. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Bakit? Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in the land and I will be with you. I will bless you, for to you and your descendants I will give you all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your fathers Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So that's their great commission. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So what did Isaac do? Isaac lived in Gerar. So merong intervention si God eh. So before our OFW members go to other countries, do they have opportunity to hear from God? Kasi we cannot judge eh. We cannot tell somebody, oh, that's not God's will for you. No, no, no. Our point as pastors is, okay, you plan to go to Middle East, you plan to go to Australia, you plan to go to this place and that place. Has the Lord spoken to you? What made you decide to go? Only based on economics? Or based on God's leading? Kasi very powerful na warning ang Isaiah 30. Going down to Egypt or going to any place without consulting me. Yan ang heartache ni God eh, sa mga Israelites. Eh. You know, why will you consult Baal, Ashtaroth? Why will you consult mediums and spiritists? Am I impotent? So, what happened in the end of the story? Well, of course, God blessed Isaac. How did He bless him? Look at verse 12. Pwede bang may magtagalog niyan? Verse 12 and 13. Ang sabi sa Tagalog? Especially verse 13. The Lord blessed him and, ano sabi? Ano sabi? At pinagpala siya ng Diyos, ng Panginoon, at siya'y naging mayaman, nagpatuloy sa pagiging mayaman, at naging napakayaman hanggang maging mayamang mayaman. Ganyan si God mag-bless eh. And he was not in Egypt. He was not in Egypt. Eh baka naman kasi si Isaac, pastor, eh ano siya, model siya ng virtue. Eh ako hindi. Ha? So kaya siya biniles ni God dahil napakabuti niya, napakagaling niyang tao. Tingnan niyo yung istorya before that. Verse 6. Isaac lived in Gerar. When the men on the place asked about his wife, ano sabi niya? Karga pa niya yung ano ni Abraham, ha? She is my sister, for he was afraid to say my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. It came about when he had been there for a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window, and he saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife, Rebekah. Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, she is certainly your wife. How then did you say she is my sister? And he said to him, kala ko kasi, because I said I might die on account of her. Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. You know, so ang lesson natin dito, one of the challenges we, especially our children, will be facing is economics. Is economics. Especially if you are a new pastor. Kung medyo matatanda ng pastor, hindi na masyado eh. No. Kasi marami ng connections, marami ng contact. Sabi nga ng isang pastor sa isang church, nung siya'y tinawag na magpastor, sabi ng pastor, wag nyo na lang ako pasweldohin. Sabi naman ng mga church, galing naman ni pastor, wag daw magpasweldo. E di kinonsulta ako, sabi ng church, pastor, yung kinukuha na yung pastor ay magpasweldo. Sabi ko, bakit ayaw niya magpasweldo? Tinanong nyo ba? Ay, hindi namin tinanong. Tanungin nyo. Kasi ayaw niya ng sweldo eh. Bakit? May accountability eh. Gusto lang niya love gift from the members. Ayan. Ano sabi mo? Kasi pagka may sweldo ka, parang may accountability, saka alam ng lahat. Nung may alam sa finance, kung magkano yung sweldo mo, di ba? Eh kung hindi ganun ang arrangement, by love gift, tapos pag nagtetestimony ka, nagpipreach ka, sabi mo, you know, I live by faith. By faith, eh, nagsusulisit ka. Kasi ganito approach mo, alam mo ba wala akong sweldo sa church? Ganun, pastor. O di kumukuha ka ng simpatya. So yung tight ng tao, hindi na binibigay kay God, sa'yo na lang. Alam mo, naging God ka. Ay, nakuha. Matakot ka sa Diyos. Yung worship, kay God lang. Pati yung tight, kay God lang. Na, ay, sabi naman sa Bible, yung tight sa mga Levites eh. Bakit Levite ka ba? Kasama ka ba sa tribo na yun? Alam mo, misan sablay tayo eh, ano? Kasi monarchy sila eh. Monarchy sila, so yung tax nila, sorry ah, yung tax nila, may tax sila eh. Pumupunta sa Levites. No? Eh kasi, yung Levites, yung buong tribe na yon, ang trabaho nila eh for the nation. Sila bahala sa tabernacle nung unang panahon kay Moses, and then later sila bahala sa temple. Wala silang sweldo, hindi sila nagtatrabaho sa labas. Kaya naman, takot ako doon pag nagsabi na yung mga pastor na ano, yung tithe nyo sa akin yun ang ibigay. Kasi I live by faith. Kakatakot yun ha. Kakatakot. So pag may nagbigay sa inyo ng sobre, nakalagay tithe. Sabihin mo, Brad, tangina mo binibigay ito. Sa inyo po, pastor, hindi ako si Lord eh. Pwede ba ibibigay lang ito sa church? Eh, paano kayo, pastor? Hindi, yung church ang bahala sa akin. Accountable sila sa Diyos for me. Okay. Kasi pag yung mga tao nagbibigay sa'yo, accountable ka sa kanila. Na? Kaya maraming pastor, ward, alaga ng mga miyembro. Nagpalit lang eh, dati ang alaga nila, yung pari eh. Ngayon, ang alaga na nila, yung pastor. Kaya ito yung may okasyon sa bahay, nandun yung pastor. Taga-pray. Taga-pray. Ba't ba tayo napunta dun? Ah, nasa famine tayo, nasa famine. Yan. Oh, anong gagawin pag famine kayo? Paano pag famine? Alam niyo, inabutan ko pa yung tradisyon na pagka yung simbahan tight financially, they will invite Manong Fred magbanwa. Bishop magbanwa. No, bakit? Para ma-challenge yung mga tao. Magbigay. Kasi si Manong Fred, he has a way of ano eh. Dati siyang FEBC ano eh, managing director. So sanay siya na mag-challenge sa mga tao. So, nung tinanong ako sa Mandaluyong Christian Association, Pastor, paano nyo ginagawa sa bread? Sabi ko, tanungin nyo yung mga taga-bread kung ilang beses nila akong narinig mag-sermon sa tithing in 20 years. Once. Kasi pagkakulang ka, yung congregation mo, at nag-sermon ka ng tithing, tataas ang offering kaagad nung Sunday na yun. Saka next Sunday. Pagkatapos nun, babalik na sa dati. Kasi yung motivation, galing lang sa'yo eh. No? Galing lang sa'yo. Pero kung ang motivation ay pagmamahal, in love sila kay God, hindi titigil. Eh, yun ang role natin eh. Ipakilala, ipahayag ang pagmamahal ng Diyos. At pag naraman nilang mahal sila ng Diyos, ipakikita naman nila yung pagmamahal nila sa Diyos. So yung kanilang tight, hindi tight. No. Yung kanilang Malakay 3:10, hindi Malakay 3:10. No. O yung Malakay 3:10, sa victory ko narinig yan, ha? Alam niyo, ang sarap ng blessing na ganyan. And the man became rich, continued to grow richer until he became very rich. No? Eh, Pastor, hindi kami gospel preach, hindi kami prosperity gospel eh. Ayan. Pakitingin nga 2 Corinthians chapter 8-9. 2 Corinthians 8-9. Baka magkaroon ng pagbabago sa victory. Ano sabi sa 2 Corinthians 8:9? For you know, sabi ni Paul, for you know, what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for your sake, He became poor. Paano nangyari yun? Kailan naging mayaman si Jesus? Kailan siya naging mayaman? Nung pinanganak siya, mayaman siya? Hindi nga maka-afford magbayad ng ini. No, he was eternally rich, gloriously rich, and he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become. So, hindi pwede yung poverty mentality, ha? Na mahirap kami eh. Mamamatay kaming mahirap. Hindi pwede. Yan ang gospel eh. Na Jesus came, became poor, Jesus came, suffered, so you and I need not suffer physically, emotionally, spiritually, so that we may become rich. Ang mahirap lang kapag ka in-isolate mo itong passage na to, at nag-focus ka lang sa prosperity. Pero ang scriptures, if you look at it in entirety, sabi sa Joshua 1 verse 6 and 7, if you do according to all that is written in it, what will happen? You will, and you will succeed in everything you do. Take delight in the law. In the law, meditate day and night. You will be like a tree firmly planted along streams of water, leaves always green, bearing season in whatever he does. Oh, eh paano yun? Tatanggalin natin sa Bible natin yun? Pero ito ang balance natin. The prosperity is not self-derived. The prosperity is not because of our own efforts. The prosperity is connected with the Lord eh, and in His word, in His will. Kaya consistent ang scriptures. If you take delight in this Lord who has revealed Himself in His Word, then you will prosper. Hindi natin pwedeng balihin ang scriptures. Ang mahirap, ang nagko-comment against prosperity, yung mga walang harvest mentality. Na ang ministry ay palaging ministry of suffering. Oh, totoo, ang ministry may suffering. Pero kaya yung ating pinoproclaim na Messiah, nag-suffer na eh. Para nga hindi tayo mag-suffer. And we simply need to open our eyes and see, sabi ni Jesus, si Jesus ang may sabi, kundi naman tayo eh. The harvest is ripe. So, kung ikaw ay nasa isang lugar at 20 taong ka na at 30 people pa rin ang church mo, anong tawag doon? Talagang suffering yun. Yes, there are areas na talagang mahirap. At maaaring hindi ikaw yung makakakita ng harvest. Pero yung next generation, makikita nila yon, yung bunga ng pinunla mo na gospel. Yung problema, kung hindi gospel ang tinanim mo. Kung ang itinanim mo ay para tayo ay mag-yumaman, kailangan magsumikap tayo, kailangan tayo ay magbanat ng buto. Eh banat na buto ng mga tao eh. Mga kalyo na nga yung kamay nila eh. Baka ang kulang na lang, yung Psalm 127, ito yung kay Isaac, ano yun? Unless the Lord builds. Unless the Lord protects. Kasi the Lord gives while His servant are asleep. So yun, yung kailangan balansin natin mga kapatid. Pag medyo hindi tayo maingat at pumunta tayo sa isang extreme, moralistic tayo. Sa kabila namang extreme, magpo-prosperity gospel tayo. Kaya kailangan medyo buo ang ating pananaw mula sa salita ng Diyos. And you know what? People's lives will change for, hindi lang good ha, for glory. Yun ang destination natin eh, for glory. Ito, glory ito. He became very wealthy, and he continued to grow wealthy. Eh, pastor, si Isaac lang naman yan eh. Hindi ah. Hindi ah. So, ano pa yung challenge? Tapos na tayo. Tapos na. Ayan. O, baka naman may pwede mag-Genesis chapter 12 para naman maganda yung discussion natin sa friendship. Genesis 12 to 20. Okay, punta tayo sa wrestling ni Jacob. Doon meron yung marami. Sige, punta tayo sa wrestling. Sino yung gusto mag-share? Ayan. Sige. Yee!
Alright. What I did was I looked at it and then it says, ngayon team natin is Jacob's wrestling with God. But when I looked at it, it's really more of wrestling with many other things than God, including God. So what I this is what I ano parang summary ng portion na to, no? This portion of scriptures describes the different ways that God, that Jacob wrestled with God through other people and God himself to bring him to a place of blessing and realization that God's hand is upon him. So that's just my and then my first yung outline is Jacob wrestled with Esau for a blessing in chapter 27. And then next is Jacob wrestled with Laban for the one he loved, chapter 28 to chapter 30, verse 24. And then Jacob wrestled with Laban for the second time for his family's independence. That's in chapter 30, verses 25 all the way to chapter 31. And then next is Jacob wrestled with God for the blessing. Not a blessing, but for the blessing. Chapter 32 and 33. And then lastly, Jacob rested in God's blessing and protection. That's in chapter 34 and 35. So, and then, inilingi ko lang, homiletical approach is we will always wrestle with people, circumstances, situations, and even with God until we learn to rest in His presence. And then Christocentric approach is Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me all who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Or Hebrews 4, verses 8 to 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. And then the last part is, God does not want us to wrestle our way into His presence. That is why he sent Jesus, his son, to wrestle sin on our behalf so that we can enter his rest and stop wrestling.
Ganda naman. Yee! Oh, meron pa ba na gusto mag-share? Isa pa. So ang title niya, Wrestling or Resting? Sino pang gusto mag-share? May tumaas ka ngayon na apat eh. Sige, pasok tayo doon sa issue ng wrestling. Kailan nagsimula yung wrestling? Oh, break muna.